Hello and welcome to the Magical Midlife Podcast, where you get a refreshing, uplifting and optimistic perspective on life in your 40s and 50s. I'm your host, Lindsay DeSwart, and I'm delighted that you've joined us here today. So let's jump right in. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing today? Lovely to see you today. This podcast is going to be a little bit later than it normally is, because guess what? We all have those hot mess days. And trying to get this recording out has been a bit of a hot mess experience. Anyway, so just to let you know, even though things look lovely, hopefully on the outside, sometimes on the inside, we are all paddling like ducks underwater. And the production of this podcast has definitely been a duck paddling moment. So anyway, enough of airing my laundry, but let's move on with the show today. And I hope you really enjoy it. But please know that we all have those days and I'm absolutely with you through all of it. So today is all about health and fitness. We're on the Wheel of Life episodes again, and this is number 3. I started off doing all about physical health and physical fitness, which is the majority of what the show's about today. But given what actually happened in the whole process of getting this recorded, I think I also need to cover things like mental health and emotional health. So I will focus more on the physical health because, well, I was going to say there's been quite a few people on this podcast, on the interviews, who talked about physical health and quite a few experts in that area. But we also all touch on mental health and emotional health, because through menopause and definitely through midlife, I think we are challenged to look at all of those three things, our physical, our mental and emotional health. And so while midlife absolutely is an awakening, I think it's also the opportunity for us to completely refocus on, rather than looking after everybody else, we need to look after ourselves. We really need to prioritise the self-care, which obviously comes onto the whole physical fitness, but it also comes onto the mental and emotional. So me saying, you know, guess what? I'm a hot mess and it's all going to hell in a handbasket. I really needed to take some time to look after my emotional health and mental health. So that means, you know, getting out for a walk a bit more. That means allowing myself to have a sleep in the morning. Actually had an afternoon nap yesterday. Not an ideal situation, but I'll tell you about that another day. That's another story for another day. But then the physical fitness. So the people who have been part of this podcast and been interviewed on this podcast, and I'm just going to reference them so you can go back and look at them because they're all really specific shows. Leslie McShane has been, we've worked together and podcasted together a couple of times. And she's a dear friend. And I'm actually really grateful for podcasting because it allowed me to meet her, my friend in Kentucky. And then the other people who have talked about health and fitness, Elizabeth Joseph talked about her experience with perimenopause. Sam Monpettit-Hugh talked about fitness because she's actually a personal trainer and also how that changes through menopause. Emily DeLuzzi talks about hormones. Kim Martin talked about her experience and how she became a personal trainer. Susan Summers talked all about walking and how that's been beneficial for her. Amy Shearer talked all about breathing and breathing techniques. And then also most recently, I've had Joe Hoy from Hoy Fitness. And he has been on the show quite recently, actually. And I'm currently working with one of his trainers, Colleen. So I will be referencing that. And also there is, I will put the link to Joe's ebook about losing weight in menopause because it's really been serving me and I'm really grateful for it. Okay, so the main health challenges for me have come about through menopause, but because when I was going through perimenopause, I didn't even know it was a thing, didn't know what that was all about. And then it all coincided to the time, or with the time, when my oldest son left for uni, my middle son moved to England, and then COVID happened. Then I went through my divorce, and so I moved back to England with my daughter. So to be fair, I don't know how much, I don't like chicken and the egg sort of thing. I don't know how much of it was stress caused by menopause or menopause brought on by stress because of life situations. So my whole approach to menopause and everything that's gone along with it has really been about reducing my stress. And so many of the menopausal symptoms, I think, can be helped by reducing your stress levels. I mean, just the things that I suffered with most are the body pain, which happened in perimenopause, day sweats, night sweats, weight gain, dry mouth and sleep. So dry mouth was really in perimenopause for me, and that seemed to just dissipate. Actually, once my period stopped, that just seemed to calm down. It also went hand in hand with allergies. So again, I don't know how much was menopause, how much was allergies, if allergies were made worse with menopause. I don't know. And, you know, if you know the answers to that, then please shout out, because we're all here to help each other at this stage, aren't we? But the things that I really had to work on was body pain. I did a half marathon when I was in perimenopause. Didn't realise it. I thought it would help me lose the weight. So I was doing everything that I thought I should be doing to lose weight. And I was like, oh, I'll just run it out. It'll be fine. Anyway, that got from bad to worse, actually. And then started learning more about what my body could and couldn't do. And I thought, well, that's it. My running days are over. And I was quite sad because I've always really relied on running. It's been, you know, a great source of exercise for me and also for mental health too. But that clearly was no longer an option through perimenopause. However, I'm glad to say I can actually run now, which is great. But it's taken me about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years even, to get to a stage where I can do running. And even then, the max I will do, or the max I can do at the moment, is about 5K. And that's plenty. So I don't have any goals to, you know, extend that at the moment. But there's something really, really key that's got me here. And basically what I did, and it was a combination of after the half marathon training and then I guess COVID too, I had to pull back so far on all of my exercise. And that involved me starting to do new exercise programs. So things like yoga really took hold, walking. And then actually Nordic pole walking as well. Nordic pole walking, don't get me started. It has been an absolute lifesaver for me. I love it. And I swear that's the one thing that's really got me my fitness back up again so that I can actually now run 5K. Nordic pole walking, you can pick up poles on Amazon for like, I don't know, 25 quid. And then from there, it allows you to stride out more. It allows you to move your arms while you're walking. It allows you to get your heart rate going higher, but without any of the impact of running. So Nordic pole walking is absolutely my best menopausal friend and my go-to for fitness. I guess I was really lucky in the fact that things like anxiety, mood swings, loss of libido, skin breakouts, blurred vision, brain fog, even if I've had them, they seem to have been short-lived, or I've been able to move beyond them very quickly, which I'm, you know, really grateful for. What I am still struggling with, though, I am still working on, is the sweats and the weight gain, and also the sleep. Now, sleep, I worked with, you'll probably gather from this episode, I have tried all sorts of things. Now, I've got to be honest, a little bit stubborn, kind of resistant to HRT, not against it. I've got a bag full of it in the cupboard waiting for me to give in and say, you've got to try this. Worked with a doctor and it might be that that's the route that I need to go. But I just thought, knowing what I know and knowing all the work that I do with natural healing, I just thought I have to try all of the lifestyle measures first. Because if I don't, I will always think, well, I didn't give myself a fair chance, because I really believe that the body heals naturally. And given the right environment, we can heal most things naturally. And obviously, stress is a huge factor of pretty much all the illnesses that we now have as regular occurrences. But anyway, as I say, HRT is not off the table. I don't have anything against it. I was just reluctant to try it because of, I guess, lack of knowledge, worries about side effects when I started reading about it. But then it's like anything, the more information you get, the more you can then make a fair judgment. And I've been given some really good resources to go and read, go and listen to, so that I can now make a better informed decision, shall we say, about HRT. Because so far, most of my information about HRT has come from natural practitioners. So I've tried everything they've told me, because why would you not, if that's what, you know, you're in favour of? However, so HRT, watch that space. Might be there, might not. I have nothing against it. but it's certainly not my first port of call. Okay, so what's really helped? So I said the yoga, pole walking, fresh air, walks in the forest, just walks out in the fresh air first thing in the morning, trying to cut my screen time, well, totally, actually. Although with the work I'm doing, I seem to be spending more time on my phone than I ever have done before, which may well be adding to my menopausal symptoms, but certainly not first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Those are two really key times. Those are certainly times that I've really tried to, you know, stay free so that I can give myself the time to sort of de-stress from the screen, I guess. The other thing that's been really key, actually, and this has come from working with Colleen from Hoy Fitness, is about my diet. And what I didn't realise was that I just actually wasn't eating enough, and I certainly wasn't eating enough protein. And so my body was hanging on to everything because it was kind of in starvation mode. So the more exercise I did, the more it got into panic, the more cortisol I produced, and therefore the more weight I hung on to. And I mean, the whole thing was a spiral, which I just didn't realise that was the way it was going to go. So anyway, working with Colleen, she's got me on more calories, she's got me on more protein, and she's changed my exercise. So it's more heavy weights and then maintaining the other exercise I'm doing, but still all about gaining muscle again. Because such a big part of what happens to our bodies in menopause is losing muscle. Now, if anybody knows me in real life, you'll know I've been a complete gym bunny, always exercising, loved it. It's part of my mental health and emotional health, to be honest. And so for me to have to sort of pull that back, it was a real struggle. So Colleen had to work with me to kind of, you know, rein me in a bit and say, okay, if this is your general activity level, how do we work with your body so that's supporting your general activity level, because that's beneficial for you in so many other ways. So they haven't said you've got to, you know, increase exercise, decrease exercise. They've said, right, what is your normal level of exercise? And we'll work with that first of all as our baseline. So that's been really helpful, I have to say. And it's actually been quite nice getting guidance back in the gym, because I haven't really done heavy weights for a very long time, but I seem to see more and more heavy weights really is what we need to be doing in our menopause so that we can actually rebuild that muscle. And that really helps with balancing all of our hormonal levels. Now, I can't give you all the details on that, but both Leslie McShane can, and Joe has an ebook as well, which also talks about that. So that is, so I think it's fair to say that's what's really helped me. None of this is fitness advice. None of this is health advice, because that's not the sort of, you know, the vibe of this podcast. With this Wheel of Life series, what I wanted to do is finally, I feel like I'm coming from a position where I have found ways to deal with all of these eight areas within life. And some of them, I certainly a year or so ago, or even, you know, before that, I really didn't feel like I was in a place where I was in integrity to talk about that, because all I could do was give you the theory. I couldn't give you the actual path walked and come out the other side. So that's why I wanted to share this with you today, because I actually feel at last I am making a difference. I can see the difference in my body. I can feel the difference in my body. So I feel like it's something that I've mastered, and therefore felt in a much better position to be able to come and share it with you, in the hope that it will give you some motivation, some inspiration, and maybe some information actually that might help you work with your own health and fitness. So definitely get some, if you're struggling with it, first of all, don't beat yourself up. That's the main thing, because that's only going to increase your stress. I did also, other things. Don't go wild trying all sorts of different things, because you can actually make the situation worse. I tried fasting, which again, probably would have made the situation worse for me. I know it works for other people. But the thing about menopause, it's so personal and so individual. There is some trial and error, but if you can work with a professional, do. Because I think it's really useful to have a sounding board and to have somebody outside of you who can say, oh, well, you know, if that's what you're experiencing, then this would be the first, you know, thing to try. When I was struggling with some of the weights or my mood was changing, then Colleen thankfully could be on the outside of things and say, oh, okay, so this is what we need to do. You need to up this, down this, or whatever. And it was really helpful. So I'd work with somebody who knows what they're talking about. There are some really good hormone people on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Emily DeLuzzi obviously is one. There is also one, I think Health with Holland, I think it is. And she's a lady who does fantastic videos explaining all about your hormones. I tried something with her actually, which was pretty funny. She was talking about cold water, immersing your face in cold water first thing in the morning, which I tried, which was entertaining because A, I nearly drowned. B, I nearly drowned because I was laughing so much. And C, I decided that I'd probably have cold water showers or do cold water swimming instead, because I was less likely to die in my own bathroom. So, yeah, she talks about it and it sounded like a really good idea. Again, I tried it, but yeah, that one wasn't for me. But the cold water swimming's been really beneficial, so give that a go. But more than anything, the whole mental and emotional, it's so fun. Really enjoy it. So if you've got somewhere near you, I just think it might be worth trying. Okay, so I think that has sort of shared with you anything that I've managed to get hold of to help me. The number one thing, though, is really trying to get your stress down. And by getting your stress down, you improve your sleep. When you improve your sleep, you improve your balance levels in your body. Obviously, magnesium can help with that. But again, I can't recommend a whole bunch of supplements, but it is worth working with somebody, whether it's a homeopath, a naturopath, a functional medicine doctor, somebody to help give you the support that you might need whilst you're going through this, because I've definitely needed support. I've spent all sorts of money on supplements. None really made that much difference. Magnesium has been the main one. And so that's why I was, you know, I was ready to try something and get the help needed. Okay, so I think that is, I think that's all I want to say on the topic. I didn't want it to be really long, but I did want to share with you what I have tried, what I haven't tried, what has been successful, what hasn't, and just to really encourage you to reach out for help. And if you're not getting help from your doctor, make sure that you are following people that are helpful and are really supportive for you in your journey. So on that note, thank you so much for tuning in. I really look forward to seeing you on the next episode, and let's move forward without so many hot mess days. That's what I say. Take care. Have a fantastic day. Bye. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Just before you go, can I ask a favour? Could you possibly subscribe to the show and leave a review if you really enjoyed it? Those things are absolutely the lifeblood of the show. They allow the show then to get a bit more publicity and get sent out to other people. So I'd love it if you could be a part of growing this podcast and sharing the Magical Midlife message. Now, also, we've got a new feature down in the show notes, which is an online store which now supports everything to do with Magical Midlife. There are personal and business resources on there for you, so please go and check it out. As I say, it's right down at the bottom in the show notes. There's free downloads, there's paid for downloads, there is physical books, and there's even links for coaching and business training as well. Okay, so thanks so much for being a part of Magical Midlife, and I can't wait to catch up with you in the next episode. Take care.